class of 2019. Thank you so much for inviting me to give the charge to the class today. When your class representatives notified me that I'd been chosen, my first thoughts were these. The 3L Electoral College is deeply flawed. 538 was way off on this prediction, and none of this would be happening if Vice Dean Kendrick had simply made campaign stops in the Rust Belt. Nevertheless, I remain deeply honored to be up here. Past charge to the class speakers have included titans of the UVA law faculty and administration, and I think the selection of the charge speaker is a reflection of the values and aspirations of the class. So for your part, the class of 2019 selected the literal youngest member of the UVA law faculty, who writes about, as one of you once put it, the history of dirt. And I'm not sure whether that speaks worths of your life choices or of mine. So I've racked my brain to think about what I, child legal prodigy Molly Brady, or as some of you call me, M. Braid's best friend, or simply your girl, could impart to you as you prepare to make the transition from student to lawyer, from 3L duckling to alumni duck, or from Withers Brown Triceratops to Covington and Burling Torosaurus. I apologize, I just learned that a Triceratops is a baby version of another dinosaur, and I really needed to work it in today. I'll be honest, I've been really nervous about giving this speech. So at this point, I have in my notes both the full text of Mr. Rogers' Look for the Helpers and also Jim Ryan's Wait, What? So I thought this thing might go off the rails, and I came here fully ready to plagiarize, which is probably against some law that I should know. But while I may not have the knowledge or experience of some others in the building, I realized I do have a few advantages in speaking to you today. So I've taught many of you, close to half of you, and as to the other half, you know who you are and you know why you made the choices you did. Still, I have another more relevant advantage. I have been where you are more recently than any other faculty member. And so I consider myself an expert in the decade immediately following your law school years. And as I recall, when I was in your shoes, I found myself returning to the beginning, to happy memories of law school events, to questions about why I had gone into the law, and to a realization I had at various points during my law school career, in my case very wrongly, that this would be the culmination of some 20 years of school. There's a famous essay from some decades back called All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, the premise of which is that various lessons, like say you're sorry, are true whether you're 5 or 95. Today, I don't propose we go back that far. I will, however, suggest to you that all you really need to know you learned in 1L year. And I can say this because I think, and hopefully can someone confirm this, the tuition checks are cashed for the other 2 years. If I am wrong on that, might be, and I hope one of you will give me a job after this speech. Thank you. In the remainder of my time up here, and in accordance with my 1L theme, I will offer you 6 lessons that I have learned in the decade immediately following my law school graduation. And these are lessons that I try to practice, each of which I think relates to the 6 doctrinal courses you take as a 1L. And throughout, I ask your forgiveness about some of my generalizations about the first year curriculum. Where I went to school, most of these courses were in fact not required. Accordingly, a lot of this I'm piecing together from Law & Order SVU and a children's book about Ruth Bader Ginsburg that I found in a doctor's office. So I will begin with the subject that was probably least familiar to you when you arrived at law school, torts. You spent a semester learning about how we decide questions of liability, how courts value life, and hopefully that you should at all times stay at least 50 feet from trains, train tracks, toy trains, and also the trains on long dresses. While torts is sometimes a class about what goes wrong, it is just as much a class about relationships. Concepts such as duty and breach are central to tort law. Relationships like doctor and patient, parent and child, employer and employee assume central significance. It has always struck me about the torts class that we may owe duties to and have relationships with those whom we have never met. One of the best pieces of advice I received from a mentor of mine on the eve of my law school graduation was this: prioritize your relationships. It is easy to pursue and maintain relationships that are professionally advantageous to you. You will cultivate mentoring relationships with senior attorneys and judges. You will build relationships with fellow lawyers. You will develop relationships with your clients. Yet it is also easy in these years when so much seems tied to your performance to neglect other relationships, perhaps a parent or a friend or a significant other. It is easy to be casually rude or unforgiving to strangers or those whom you see incidentally. Don't make this mistake. Instead, invest in every strengthening of every relationship that you can, even when it takes limited time. Sooner than you think, others are going to seek relationships with you to improve their professional and personal lives. Be generous and kind with them. In torts, we learn we have relationships with and duties to unlimited others. That can seem intimidating and time-consuming or like an incredible gift, because the web of connections we have forms our legacy. So prioritize your relationships. Besides torts, there was another big common law class in your first semester, contracts. Much as I tried to come up with a lesson related to the mailbox rule, what I settled on from this course was the meeting of the minds. Find spaces to agree, no matter how small, in all things, personal, political, professional. You impress me with your ability to do this all the time. Many of you disagree on many, many things, yet you find spaces for agreement. Through organizations like Common Law Grounds, you build bridges to one another. To be clear, you can be passionate and you will disagree. As you know, our legal system is built on adversarial representation. But seek moments of agreement and understanding. If it ever seems too hard to do, let me suggest starting here. Having 3 different Spider-Man reboots in 15 years was perhaps one too many. I'm not saying which one was a mistake, but maybe one of them was a mistake, okay? Also, do not forget the mailbox rule, which I think means that you have immunity from all illegal acts if you are touching a mailbox. Speaking of illegal acts, the first semester also brought you criminal law. There are so many lessons in criminal law, the importance of doubt or the role of intent, for instance, and criminal law is full of tragedy, mistakes, split-second decisions, stories where the early steps one takes foreshadow a terrible conclusion. I hope dearly that none of you ever faces any such tragedy, and it brings me great joy to know today that so many of you will work in the criminal justice system to help both victims and the accused. So my lesson from criminal law comes partially from the course and partially from you. Forgive and improve. I am floored by the spaces for forgiveness in our legal system, perhaps in criminal law most of all. You will need forgiveness in these early years of your legal career. Forgiveness from others, and perhaps above all, from yourself. There will be small things, like a messed up assignment or a missed event due to billable hours. There may be bigger things, perhaps the realization that you have made a major misstep in your career or some event that drastically affects your personal life. Forgive yourself and be forgiving of others. But alongside forgiveness, seek to improve. Some of you are choosing areas in the law, like criminal justice, specifically to make them better. It will be hard to make the world better if you are not your best self. So seek feedback constantly. Hiding from negative news will not serve you, and feedback helps you grow. So improve your legal skills, improve yourself in ways you know you should, and great change will follow. Forgive and improve. The final class of your first year fall was civil procedure, and I know what you're thinking. How is Brady going to get a life lesson out of CivPro? So for a time at this point in my remarks, I had developed an insane acronym spelling out interpleader, and also an elaborate set of 12 Bs, like one be awesome. But there's something more fundamental to civil procedure, and that's that these rules shape access to our institutions and to the resolution of claims. And I hope that during your time here, we have taught you to question procedural and all sorts of other rules. I don't mean to encourage you to show up to your first day of work, immediately question the cafeteria policy, and start loading up on pad thai while yelling, "This should be free!" But instead, what I mean is this. Always think about the consequences of rules and whether they can be improved in ways that make the world fairer or more just or a better expression of the values that you hold dear. You will have a say in the rules of your institutions, of your local governments, and very soon, of other areas of the law. So think about who these rules favor and reevaluate them over time. Question the rules. In the spring, after enduring those 4 behemoths, you finally get to constitutional law. Con law, the class that you figured was basically going to be a podcast about the Supreme Court, but which somehow ends up being a bewildering tour through the legality of 19th century fairy monopolies. There is, again, much to learn from con law, but I thought here I would share a specific suggestion. Live by your own governing document, or what I call a mission statement. Up in my office, many of you may not have noticed, I do have a mission statement, what I view as the organizing principles of my life. And it need not be too complicated. I won't spoil the whole thing for you, but my mission statement says this in part. My mission is to dig and discover new things and to share the fruits of that research with others. My mission is to teach, help, and befriend those who seek knowledge and support. When I am losing focus or wondering about the right next steps, I return to my mission statement and think, is this decision consistent with or contrary to my mission statement? Having organizing principles provides me with clarity in moments when I need it. So draft and then live by a mission statement. Evaluate your choices against it and set your goals based on the aspirations you have for your life. Last but certainly not least, property. God, I love that reaction. As you might predict, I cannot possibly distill just one lesson from property, which should be a 36-credit course. Each topic is precious, from the tiniest utility easement to the largest whale harpoon. I did ultimately decide on something universal from the property class, and that's time, but perhaps not in the way you expect. So as you learn throughout the property class, time can entrench and eliminate rights. As time passes, we develop expectations about what is ours. We invest in reliance on what belongs to us, use things over time to show others this is what we are claiming. You learn the concept first in time, first in right. Doctrines as disparate as adverse possession and the law of takings recognize the importance of time. A common refrain that I hear from my graduating students is that they just want to get out there and start real life. A related concept is the idea of being settled, another property term. This is the idea that if you simply get to the next point and set down roots and start using your skills, forever can begin. This concept is an illusion. The most settled expectations topple, even in property. New rights emerge, interests are balanced. The great gift of time is not that it will entrench you in your job, your city, or even necessarily this career. Instead, time allows for resiliency, for you to bounce back, to recover from difficulties or setbacks, to readjust. So time matters in property because it permits transitions as conditions change. So here's the lesson: never be settled. Don't wait to be settled or for any promise of future stability to do something you love in the law. Even if it is only a small part of your first few months or even years as a lawyer, do not build spaces that entrench, build spaces that anticipate transition. Be flexible and open, rather than focusing on setting down roots so that life can begin. Life is already happening. If someone had told me 8 years ago, on the eve of my law school graduation, that I'd be talking to some hundreds of law students with alcohol in Central Virginia right now, I would never have believed them. And I'm so glad that time has led me to this moment, and you will be glad for serendipity in many ways too. So never be settled. Many of you know that I conclude every class with takeaways. So the six lessons I have given you today from your six first year classes are these: prioritize relationships, find spaces to agree, forgive and improve, question the rules, live by a mission statement, and never be settled. You can take all six with you or just take one. But alas, I know that speeches like this are fleeting and often forgettable. And so if you remember anything from today, I want it to be this. As I have said to some of you before, I have a special relationship with this class. That is because we came here to Charlottesville together during the summer of 2016. Much has happened both inside and outside these walls in those 3 years, and I have been glad that you, each of you, were here. Many charges to the class end with a final charge or commission, some instruction to the class, something to bring with you from here into the real world. And instead, what I want to say in concluding is simply that I am grateful for you. I know that in this building we have taught you as much as we can about law and about life. You have taught us much in return, and all of this is now yours to apply. So on behalf of my colleagues and everyone at UVA, we are rooting for you to succeed, however you define success. We love you, and we will see you when you come back. Cheers.